Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Well, good morning. It seems that I am beginning to get the reputation for telling as one that tells bad jokes. And I don't understand it. So I'm going to take one more shot at it this morning to see if I can't change your mind from last week. So here are a few of my best shots. I told my wife that she drew her eyebrows on too high. She looked surprised. My wife told me I had to stop acting like a flamingo. I had to put my foot down. This one's going to take some thinking, but I know you guys are sharp. I bought my friend an elephant for his room. He said, thanks. I said, don't mention it. This could be a bad one. This could. What do you call a dog that does magic tricks? A labracadabrador. And this one's theological, where we'll answer. So what if I don't know what Armageddon is? It's not the end of the world. All right, hopefully that saves my reputation. You know what is not a joke is how sincerely the Lord wants to come into our lives and give us abundant life in the here and the now. It is God's will for us that we live in His peace, His joy, His comfort, His power as we live in these days. Now, last week we looked at who is the Holy Spirit. And just to review quickly, He is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is God with us and God in us. The Father's on the throne. Jesus is at the right hand. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God, the being of God, the person of God that we encounter in this world, in our lives, on a daily basis. He is God's empowering Spirit in our lives. Now, when we receive Jesus, considering the works of the cross and the forgiveness that's offered and the salvation that is available to us, we ask Jesus for His forgiveness, for His salvation. When we do ask Jesus, as we commonly use the language, to come into our hearts or into our lives, we receive Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're inseparable. The Trinity. It's the mystery of the Trinity. So the truth is that anyone that has accepted Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. The question is, and hear me this morning, for this is this whole thing. Teaching hinges on this. You have the Holy Spirit, but does He have you? You see, it's God's desire that we not only have Him, but He has all of us. And oftentimes we forfeit the abundant life that we're promised because we do not surrender all to the Holy Spirit that resides within us. It's like joint tenancy. You know, there's us and there's the Holy Spirit, and the two may live together as if in a duplex and may visit occasionally, may hear each other through the walls, but we truly are not one. You see, it's possible. It is possible for Jesus to be your Savior and not your Lord. Last week, I asked the question, what difference does the Holy Spirit make in your life? Now, does He make a difference? Does He lead? Does He bring fruit? Does He come with His gifts? Does He give you spiritual power and strength? As Jesus was preparing to leave this earth, as He was speaking to His followers, He said this. It's in John 14, verse 15 through 18. He says to them, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." Now that's, gosh, a powerful message right there in those few words. If you love Me, keep My commandments. "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper." See, He's telling them that it's going to be good if He goes away. Why? Because then He will pray and we would receive another helper. "That He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." You see, there it is, the positional place of the Holy Spirit is in us. "I will not leave you orphans," He says. "I will come to you." Then in John 16, beginning with verse 5, again, Jesus, in the same context, preparing for His departure, says to His followers, "But now I go away to Him who sent Me, and none of you ask Me, 'Where are you going?' But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts." So He's saying, don't worry, don't be sorrowful. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart," that the Helper being the Holy Spirit, "but if I depart, I will send Him to you." So, Jesus' plan for us to move forward in our life with Him is that the Holy Spirit is welcome into our lives and we surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit. Here Jesus is clearly stating that it's beneficial for us that He departs earth and goes to be with the Father. Then and only then would He send the Holy Spirit. So what does the Holy Spirit do? What can we expect as we surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit? What is His role on earth, and what is His role in our lives? Well, just let me give you some of what Scripture tells us is the role of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says He guides us to all truth. Romans 8:16 says He assures us that we are children of God. Romans 15:13 says He gives us hope. Ephesians 3:16 says He strengthens us. Ephesians 4:11-12 says He equips us to serve others. You see, this all that God does in our lives is not just for us personally. It certainly has personal implications in our lives, heaven for one. But it is just as important and meaningful that what God does in our lives is He moves to enable us to serve others. This thing we call Christianity, this thing we call being followers of Christ. We are not isolated in it, but we are created and designed and equipped and expected to be reaching out and serving others, reaching out, loving others, forgiving others. For it's in that that we truly live, that we truly live. He says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 that the Holy Spirit produces spiritual fruit in our lives. He is the one that produces love, joy, kindness, patience, gentleness, all of these characteristics that are so wonderful are fruit of the Holy Spirit living in us and us surrendering our will to Him. For you see, it's those things are really only possible in the Spirit. You know, it's very difficult for us in the flesh to be selfless, to be continually to be kind, continually to be gentle, not wanting our own way, but putting others first. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is the role of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 11 says that He distributes gifts for ministry. Gifts for ministry. There again, He does something in our lives, gives us these gifts that we are to use to reach others. The gift of prophecy, healing, word of knowledge, it's all there in the Bible. These things are meant for us today. They're meant for us today. And they come as we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit. What gift has He given you? What gift is He wanting to use through you? He distributes gifts. Now, all of these wonderful things, and there are many, 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 many more. I saw one list that had 50 scriptures on the role of the Holy Spirit. All these wonderful things are available to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and these things are, as it says in John 10:10, these things are the abundant life. They are the abundant life. Are you living the abundant life? Now, I hope you got your tickets. We're not having a raffle. Everybody got tickets? So important. Just want to use these this morning to illustrate something to you. You got your ticket. So you notice that your ticket has two parts, right? All right, so we're going to look at this ticket and we're going to say that when I came and asked Jesus into my heart, to use the language we commonly use, when I received Christ, when I got saved, it's as if we received these tickets. Okay? All right, great. Wonderful, thank you. These tickets, this is the illustration, that this is what we receive at that moment we're saved. Now, you go ahead and do this. Take your ticket that says, keep this coupon, and put it in your pocket. Now, you're going to need that when your earthly life is over. So keep it, don't lose it. Now, there's a whole theological debate on whether or not you can lose your ticket. We're not gonna go there this morning. But put it where you can keep it, because there's going to come a time when these earthly bodies fail and we have this eternal life that is ours through salvation. So we put that away. Now, what does that leave? Well, it leaves me this ticket. This ticket is for abundant life here and now. And the problem is that oftentimes we don't use this ticket. It's ours. It's been paid for, through the sacrifice of Christ. It's the desire of God that we walk in it. But oftentimes, this ticket is just ignored. And we move on, thankful that we've got the one in my pocket, in our pocket, but not realizing what we are forfeiting by not embracing this one. What we forfeit, what we miss, because we fail to understand God's will for us to be filled, surrendered to, baptized with the Holy Spirit. His presence, His enabling presence in our lives. Now remember last week I said you could call it whatever you want to, the second work of grace, baptism in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, sanctification. There are a lot of names that we put on it. It really doesn't matter what you call it. What really matters is, are you experiencing it? This abundant life that God offers through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-filled life. Now, I don't know of... I want to share with you this morning my testimony. And hopefully... it's just simply that it's my experience. I don't expect you to have the same experience. I don't expect your experience to be just like mine. But what I'm hoping is that you will have your experience. I was saved when I was 17 years old at a Young Life retreat in Oneonta Valley, where our youth went for winter camp. 17 years old, I went with this Young Life group. I was in the back of the room cutting up. Somehow the message from the speaker penetrated my heart. I knew that I needed Jesus. I remember in that moment, all my friends from high school, they were all laying out on the floor as youth do in that setting and listening to the speaker. And I remember stepping over them one by one to go to the front where I would receive Jesus. I have a picture of the fireplace, the place where I stood and prayed and asked for forgiveness of my sins and for Jesus to be my Savior, to receive Christ. At that very moment, I received Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All of them. All of them. We talk a lot now, and I just not sure of how sound the theology is about saying we want more of God. You know, we really have all of God. But does He have all of us? That's what we're saying when we say, I want more of God. We're actually saying, God, I want you to have more of me. So I was saved. I was 17 years old. Went about my life doing things that were destructive and things that kids do and so forth and so on. Got married. Was a terrible husband. Somehow in the midst of all that, God chose me and called me from the path I was on vocationally into a path of ministry. I say that Terry overprayed me because she was praying for me relentlessly and had even cried out to God on one occasion with her sister that they were going somewhere. She said, I should have been a pastor's wife. And boy, she was married to anything but a pastor. Well, through the call of God, I answered the call of God, and that's a long story. But went there, graduated from college, and entered seminary and graduated and became a local pastor of a small church. Nearby here. And I began to serve this small church, and it took me about 3 months. It took about 6 months. And all during that 6 months, it seemed like all I heard was about baptism in the Holy Spirit, being the Spirit-filled life, the role of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere I went, I was confronted with this message. It was like people in grocery stores are handing me cassette tapes. Y'all remember what cassette tapes are, right? Well, everywhere I went, I was confronted with this message. And I diligently began to try to understand what this meant. I'd grown up in a mainline, well, I didn't grow up. I grew up as a heathen. Hey, listen, when Terry convinced me to go to Sunday school at her church in order to date her, they had to ask me not to smoke in Sunday school class. That's how foreign church was to me. About 6 months later, they asked me to be Sunday school superintendent. That's how desperate they were. So, as this message, I kept hearing it over and over and over again, and I committed myself to understand, and I came quickly to the realization that I really couldn't understand it. And I said, "Well, Lord, if I'm going to preach this, I got to understand it." He said, "If you're going to preach it, you got to experience it." So, about 6 months into it, I was killing my wife. I was killing my children, I was killing myself, and I was killing the church. And I realized that I do not have the power to do what God is calling me to do in this place. Can't do it. I said, this is going nowhere fast. This is a disaster. I'm unhappy, the church is unhappy. I even at that moment believed that God was unhappy as well. So what I did is, on one day, I actually went to the chapel at Emory University, probably the last place you should go if you want to be touched by God. Not really true. But there was a lot of things that happened in that chapel. But the day that I returned and I went, there was a speaker there by the name of Mark Rutland. And he spoke about the power of the Holy Spirit. I came home hungry, longing, desperate for a change in my life. I needed something. I remember I came into my office and I knelt down at the chair. There was a chair there. And it was, I don't think it was leather, I think it was naugahyde. You know what naugahyde is? I knelt at that chair and I began to cry out to God in desperation. I was hurting. There was a deep longing and need in my life that things weren't right. And as I began to pray, I began to cry. And I remember, just like it was yesterday, I remember the tears hitting that naugahyde seat. And I remember thinking to myself, those are the largest tears I've ever seen. The tears literally splashed from the seat and stained my shirt. And as I cried, this was my prayer. I said, "Lord, I don't understand this. And I don't know what it is you want. But I've been hearing about this," and I use the term baptism in the Holy Spirit. Again, you insert your term. And I said, "And Lord, I want you to know that if that's real, if that's something I've read about it in Scripture, I've had others tell me about it, tell me of their experience. I said, if it's real, Lord, I want it. If that's real, Lord, I want it, and I want it now. I want you to know at that very moment, something happened in my life. At that very moment, there came upon me a peace, a comfort. There came upon me a new confidence. There came upon me a power that I had never, ever experienced in my life as I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, here is all of me. Take this mess and do with it what you will. I'm yours. 30 years old. For 13 years, I'd been pretending. I believe I had my coupon for heaven. I believe if I'd died, I'd have gone to heaven. But I certainly was not living the abundant life and certainly did not have the power to minister in the way that He had called me. Now, there's more about this that I could share with you if at some point you were interested. But I got up from that place, at that chair. We lived in the parsonage. That's an old church term. It means where you keep the pastor. So you can find him. You know, and so I got up and I walked to the door from the church going toward the parsonage about probably about 50, 60 feet away. And the moment I stepped out onto the porch of the church, I realized something. For the first time, and I can't remember when, I could see color. I can't tell you how far back, whatever, but it dawned on me as I saw color. This was like an October or November day. The sky was bright blue. The greens in the trees. I remember a red car passed by. It was the brightest, most brilliant red I've ever seen. And it occurred to me that I had been seeing the whole world in black and white. Physically. Again, this is my experience. I'm telling you what I experienced. I couldn't believe it. I was just in awe at the beauty of color. And I felt more alive than I've ever felt in my life at that moment. I walked over to the parsonage. I walked, opened the front door. Terry was in the kitchen where she should have been. Just kidding. She should have, just kidding, she should have been cutting the grass. I walked in the door. She happened to be in the kitchen. From the kitchen, she looked at me. I walked in the front door. And honest to goodness, she looked at me and she said these words. First thing I remember, she said, "What has happened to you?" I said, "Terry, the most wonderful thing has happened in my life." And I began to explain to her my experience. And she said, "You look different." Now, that's my experience. That's my experience. I'm not saying that you need to have my experience. But what I'm saying is, you need to have your experience. You need to experience what happens when you surrender your life to the Holy Spirit. Not scary, not creepy. God, when you surrender your life to God. You see, because that's when things happen. Typically what we see in the church, or at least in the past, we see this. Somebody accepts Christ. They try to live for God. Try to do the best they can. Fail. Try again. Fail. They finally comes to a point. They come and say, "I'm going to rededicate my life." We're all familiar with that, right? I rededicate my life. And that goes okay for a little while and the cycle repeats. And actually, you rededicate your life so much, your rededicator wears out. When really what we need is to surrender. See, our walk with our Heavenly Father is a walk where that we gain by losing. You with me? We live by dying. We get victory through surrender. completely upside down from what the world thinks. But it's God's way. And it's His way for you. And it's His way for me. So I ask you this morning, have you surrendered your life to the indwelling Holy Spirit? He's there. He's in there. Just waiting for you to die to self, to give up self, that He might come in and fully reside, bringing all of the glorious things that He brings. All from that moment on that fall day, when I saw color, I've had joy unspeakable. I've had peace that passes understanding. I've had faith. I've had faith that God has honored. I want to tell you something. I'm no longer surprised when God does things in my life. I'm actually surprised if He doesn't. Because through this experience, ongoing experience now with the Holy Spirit, I walk in faith. He gives me the faith. He will give you the faith. He will give you the comfort. He will give you the strength, the power. All of this wonderful fruit will be evidence of Him moving in your life. You'll be able to be obedient unto Him. You'll be able to love like you've never loved before. And people will notice. They'll ask you Terry's question. What has happened to you? I'm living my life being filled daily. Being filled daily with the Holy Spirit. The Scripture asks, since you believed, have you been received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The Word of God. Since you believed, have you received this wonderful work of grace? Have you? Have you? Are you ready? Just bow your heads where you are right now. Listen to His voice. Are you truly His? Or do you stubbornly continue to hold on to your own will? To your own agenda, to your own life? That's understandable. We're human. But there's so much more for you. Listen to the words of this song.
Holy Spirit,
make sure you're here next Sunday. Because Pastor Mike is going to be going even further into this ministry of the Holy Spirit. Come, eager to hear, eager to learn, eager to receive what God has for you. Now may you be sanctified, holy, body, soul, and spirit, that at the coming of the Lord Jesus, you will be found blameless in His sight. God bless you. Have a great week walking in the Spirit.